أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا أبي القاسم محمد
اللهم صل على محمد وعلى
والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد قد قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إن الحسين مصباح الهدى وسفينة النجاة السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives our sins and gives us the opportunity to obey Him and only Him, and that He makes us sincere in our worship and obedience to Him. The tradition that I read for you is from the Holy Prophet Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. In that tradition, the Holy Prophet says that most certainly Hussein is the guiding light and he is the ship of reverence. Yesterday we talked a little bit about this tradition, and for the next 10 days our topic is going to be the aza of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam, or the mourning of Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. We all of us that are here, we are here to understand the purpose of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and also to increase in the love that we have for Imam Hussain and Ahlul Bayt Alayhi Wasallam. I mentioned to you yesterday that you guys are going to be the ones who would have to carry on the mission of Imam Hussain. You are the one who would have to carry on the aza of Imam Hussain Alayhi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It is your parents that are doing this right now, and it was before them, it was their parents, and they took this responsibility and they're doing it right now. So you are the future, and you are going to be the ones who are going to uphold this. And it is very important that you understand that the most love that you should feel inside of your heart for anybody in this world, it is for Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. Your love for your mother or your father or your brother or your sister should be less, and the love of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam should be more. We talked about the fact that this is something that has been going on for the last 1400 years, and inshallah it is going to continue, and you guys are going to be the ones who are going to continue this. Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the guiding light. What does that mean? That means is that in this darkness that we live, in the life when we don't understand something or the things that are difficult to us, if we understand Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, our lives would become easier. We would be able to see light. We would get out of the darkness of... When we say darkness, that means is our own lowly desires. When we obey shaitan, or when we obey our own desires or the things that we want to do but not necessarily what Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is asking us to do, our perception gets tainted, or how we look at the world becomes darker. People get depressed, they get stressed, you know, they go through life being sad about things that are not really worth about being sad. And you see that all around you. That is what is taught to you in the TV, that's what it's taught to you in the movies, that's what it's taught to you in the games. That it is only these things that will make you happy. These are the things that will make you successful in this world. Or if you are able to get this and such game, then you should be happy. And if you don't get such and such game, then you should be sad. That if you can see that program on TV, then you should be happy. Or if you can see that movie, you should be happy. So in the culture that we live in, the happiness or what is light is very... It's a wrong idea. If you're obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you're really into the light. And if you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're in the darkness. So we talked about yesterday that this world that we are in, if we have Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam as our guiding light, there will be a few things that we will not be scared of. And the one thing that we are all scared of, and it is death. Right? Most of the people in this world, the 6 billion people that are in this world, they are afraid of death. But if you make Imam Hussain Sathya Sama as your guiding light, you will not be afraid of death. And we explained to you yesterday that this life, before this life we lived, in this life we're living, when we go to the barzakh, we're also living in the purgatory. When we go on the Day of Judgment, we're still living. When we go to heaven, we're still living. If we go to hell, we're still living. So you are not something that, you're not a being that ever dies. You're just a being that gets transferred from one world to the other. And your life changes. You see, like how you are, when you are in junior kindergarten, then you go into senior kindergarten, right? Your classes changes, the way that you think changes, right? Then you go to grade 1. What you were in the junior kindergarten, you're not the same anymore in grade 1. And then you go into grade 2, grade 3, grade 4, and so forth. And you guys know this, that, you know, even if you have seen the videos when you guys were young and it was your first day at school, how different you were. And now how different you are. So basically, even in this world, you just go through different phases in life. And you just go from, for example, from elementary school into high school. From high school, you go into university. From university, you'll get a job. After a job, you'll get married, you'll have kids. You become parents. After that, you will become grandparents. And you just go through life in different phases. And death is just another phase of your life. It's just another phase that you have to go through. And when you go through that door, it is another life, which will also has phases. So the next phase after death is purgatory, right? Where we stay before the Day of Judgment. So you will be there, then you will move into the Day of Judgment, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will resurrect us, our bodies will be resurrected, we'll come back with our bodies and our souls. And after that, there's another phase that you will get into. And that is either you will go to heaven or you will go to hell. And basically, that is the last phase of your creation. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, He saw these lights. You see, like how you see the stars? Hazrat Adam alayhi salam saw these little lights, like stars. And he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are these lights? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these are your children. Right? We are all children of Hazrat Adam alayhi salam and Hazrat Hawa alayhi salam. Right? We're all their children. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that these are your children. And Hazrat Adam alayhi salam asked, why is it that some of these light are bright and some of them are small? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that how bright the light is, that is how much I will test them in this world. The ones who have a higher, bigger light, or they have a lot of more capacity to take care of hardships and tests, they will be tested more in this world. The ones who have less capacity, they will be tested less in this world. Okay? So you understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, He had already created our souls. We existed in that world. And then the example that I gave you guys is of a roller coaster. You guys have been on a roller coaster? I'll give that example to you again. You know, you've seen people that are standing in the lineup to get onto the roller coaster. Some of the people are already on the roller coaster. And some people have already gotten off the roller coaster. Right? You've seen that in Canada's Wonderland when you go for the rides. So the people who are waiting to get on to this roller coaster are the ones who haven't been born yet. So they're waiting right now in a lineup to be born. The ones who are already on the roller coaster is us. We're the ones going through this up and down of life. The ones who have gotten off of this roller coaster are those people who are done. And they're the ones who are gone into barzakh. Okay? So don't ever think, and when we make Imam Hussain Sathya Sama as our guiding light, we are not scared of death. I gave you that example that Hazrat Qasim alayhi Sathya Sama, 14 years old, Imam Hussain Sathya Sama being his guiding light, when Imam Hussain asked him, how do you think about death? He said that death to me is sweeter than honey. That death to me is sweeter than honey. He wasn't scared of death. Right? Here is a person who's 14 years old. He's not scared of death. And it is the night where he knows that the next day he is going to be martyred. It is not something that he understands that I will die maybe after 50 years, 60 years. No, he knows that tomorrow he is going to die. And he says that death to me is sweeter than honey. So one thing that you will be able to learn from Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that never be afraid of death. It is something that is going to come to all of us. When you live your life, this is another lesson from Imam Hussain. When you live your life, you should have honor in your life. What on your t-shirts you guys have lived like? Ali, die like Hussain. Living like Ali means that you should always have honor in your life. Meaning, what it means by honor, that you should find yourself worthy and higher than sins. Someone who commits sins, they have no honor. Right? If you disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means that you have no honor. If you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that means you have honor. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also says, إِنَّ الْعِزَّةَ لِلَّهِ وَلِلْرَسُولِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That definitely honor is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His Prophet, and the believers. Would you not like to be respected? Everybody likes to be respected, right? You like other people who respect you, and you give respect to them as well. The respect is only in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The obedience of shaitan is disrespect. You will never be able to gain honor if you are obeying shaitan. If you miss your prayers, you have no honor for yourself. You want other people to give you honor, but you don't have honor in your own self. Because if you had honor in your own self, you would say that I am above this. I'm above all of these little things that are making me distracted from obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, two lessons. One lesson from Karbala is that you cannot be scared of death. The second lesson of Karbala is that you should always have honor in your life. And the third lesson about Karbala is patience. You guys understand what patience means?
Yes.
Patience means forbearance. Patience means that, you know how a mountain is, right? You've seen the wind come, so many tsunamis come and so forth, but the mountain doesn't move. No matter how strong the wind is, the mountain always stays there. Right? If a person moves from things that come in their life, they don't have patience. If a little difficulty comes and you become upset, that means you have moved. That difficulty has moved you from your place. If a person comes, okay, you know, calls you or says, let's go and do this, and you know you're supposed to pray your namaz, and you go ahead and go follow that person, you have no patience. If the TV and the movies and the videos and the games, they are moving you away from the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to you, that means you have no patience. Patience means that you have to be firm in your place, no matter what happens. Okay? No matter what happens, you do not move from your place. No matter what difficulty you get, no matter who says something to you, you know, for our sisters, they wear hijab, and people probably give them, you know, maybe hassles. Or they make comments to them that, oh, why are you wearing this? Is your dad forcing you to wear this? You know, Islam, why is Islam oppressing you? Why do you have to do this? Why don't you go and show your hair and let everybody see how beautiful you are, or how pretty you are, right? Like, they would be saying these comments to them. And if a sister moves and does what they are saying, she has no patience. If for you, when you grow up, or the ones who have a beard, if somebody comments you, oh, you're a terrorist. You have a beard, you look like a terrorist. And because of that, you shave your beard, you have no patience. See, staying in the same place and upholding your ethics and morals and honor is patience. Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was given so many difficulties. He was, you know, why did they stop water for Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? Why did they went hungry for 3 days? So that Imam Hussein can say, okay, fine, I give up. Okay, you've stopped the water, my little kids are thirsty. My daughter is thirsty. Okay, fine, I give up. Just give me water, let me live. But Imam Hussain did not say that. He had patience. He stood his ground. He said, doesn't matter if you stop water, if you keep me hungry, if you do whatever that you are going to do to me, I will not move from where I am. Because I know that I'm on the right path. I know that this is the way to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I know this is the way that He's going to become pleased with me. I know this is the way of the Holy Prophet. This is the way of my dad, Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. I know this is the right way. And regardless of what difficulties you're going to give to me, I will not move. So for you guys, you should not move because of these people who say things to you. You should stand firm. So patience is another lesson that we can learn from Karbala. Other thing we talked about is that we need to have remorse inside of our hearts. We need to feel sad in the month of Muharram. You cannot watch TV in the month of Muharram. At least for the first 10 days, you cannot watch TV. The example I gave you is that if your dad passed away, if your mother passed away, would you have a smile on your face? Would you watch TV? Would you play your games? No, you'll be sitting down in a corner and crying. You will remember him, how he was, how he took care of you, how difficult it was for him to provide for you. You would be crying. If your mother passed away, you would be remembering her, how she was nice to you when you were scared, how she gave you every single thing that you wanted. You would cry your eyes out. And Imam Hussain gave you the most precious things that you have. The most precious thing that you have is your religion. It is your Islam. If he did not sacrifice himself, if he did not get his neck cut and put on a spear, you would be a Christian today. Your mother would be a Christian, or your dad would be a Jew, or your dad would be a Sikh, and you would have been born in that family. And you would not know what truth is, you would not know what falsehood is. So someone who sacrificed every single thing so that today you can be blessed, so that you do not go to the hellfire, right? Imam Hussain saved Islam. If you obey Islam, you will not go to hell, you will go to heaven. Every single thing you have, you owe it to Imam Hussain's sacrifice. Your mother, you owe it to him. Your dad, you owe it to him. And this is why we say, Bi Abi Anta wa Ummi. We say that, O Imam Hussain, may my mother and dad be sacrificed on you. May everything I have be sacrificed on you because of your sacrifice and your efforts. I have everything today. You have to remember Imam Hussain in every single day of these first 10 days. You should listen to Nohaj, you should listen to Marcia, you should cry. Crying for Imam Hussain has so much reward you do not understand. If one tear comes out of your eye and you understand the pain of Imam Hussain, all of your sins will be forgiven. Are we not here, people who have sinned? Do we not want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us? We are those people, we want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us. And that one drop of tears that will come out of your eyes will become the source for you to be saved, for you to have the reward that cannot be counted. Why is there so much reward in crying for Imam Hussain? Because when you cry for Imam Hussain, you are saying that Imam Hussain belongs to me. I belong to Imam Hussain and he belongs to me. Either you have the blood of Imam Hussain in your veins, If you are a Sayyid, you have the blood of Imam Hussein in your veins. It was your relatives. It was your grandmothers and it was your grandsisters. It was your parents who were martyred in Karbala. Feel that responsibility. And if you do not have the blood of Imam Hussein, Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was your Mawla, he's your master. He's the grandson of the Prophet that you love. He's the being who sacrificed everything he had for Islam. Your tears is saying to anyone who's going to oppress anybody that I belong to Hussein and Hussein belongs to me. So if you are going to oppress anybody, I will do exactly what Hussein did in Karbala. And that is the reason why people have always been against Aza of Imam Hussein, the mourning of Imam Hussein, because they are scared. Because they know that if people will say that I belong to Hussein and Hussein belongs to me, they will not be able to oppress anybody in this world. And we become sad because of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim being sad, and we become happy if they are happy. Do you know the month of Muharram when it starts? Whenever Bibi Fatma Zahra Salamullahalaiha is, she has been crying for the last 1400 years. Every single day of her life that she's living in Barzakh, it is Karbala for her. And Imam Zawal Sattu Islam, he said, "Oh my grandfather, I cry for you day and night. And when my tears are finished from my eyes shed the blood, tears of blood come out of my eyes. When someone dies, you have a funeral, you have people who come and they tell those people who have lost them, who have lost their loved ones, you tell them, you know, don't worry, have patience, it's okay. You know, when Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was martyred, there was nobody to give the salli, there was nobody to say, don't worry, to Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasalam. Instead of saying that you've lost your dad, Sakina, that you've become an orphan, you know what these people did? The six-year-old daughter of Imam Hussein, they hit her on her face. That orphan of Imam Hussein was hit on her face. One day people came to Imam Jafar Sadiq Al-Sattu's house and they burned his house. They burned Imam Jafar Sadiq al-Sattu's house, and then when people came and saw, Imam Jafar was so sad, he was crying. And the people said to Imam Jafar Sadiq al-Sattu's, "Ya Mawla, this is not the first time that your house has been burned. This is not the first time that the house of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim has been burned. Why are you crying?" Imam Jafar Sadiq al-Sattu's said, When the fire was on my house, I was there and I saw my kids go from one room to the other room as the rooms were burning. But in Karbala, Bibi Zainab was alone. The kids were alone. They were going from one burned tent to the other. So you have to, if you cannot cry, you have to pretend to cry. If you cannot pretend to cry, you have to feel sad inside of your heart. You guys have to love Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim more than your own parents. I beg of you, you should find out who they were. You should find out what Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, who Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim was, because you need to love them. The love of Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim, it is an obligation, it is wajib on you. In Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Kulla as'alukum alayhi ajr illa al-mawaddata fil qurba." Say, "O Prophet, I do not want any reward from you other than the love of my Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim." The Prophet, He did so much. He's the one who's the last prophet of Islam. He did every single thing, all the efforts that he placed. He never asked for any reward. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that for the efforts that you've placed, do not ask them of any reward other than the love of Ahlul Bayt alayhi muslim. It is wajib on every single Muslim to love Ahlul Bayt alayhi muslim. If they do not, they are letting go of an obligation. When you grow up, you should go to visit Imam Hussain alayhi wasalam in Karbala. Imam Jafar Sadiq has said that if one of our Shias does not go to the ziyarat of Imam Hussein without an excuse, he's not our Shia. You should go to the ziyarat of Imam Hussein, and if you cannot go, then you can say, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. You can say that anywhere you are. And do you know what? Wherever you are, Imam Hussein will say, Wa alaykum as-salam. You can say salam to him every single day, any time that you want. And it is wajib. It is very recommended to say salam, but it is wajib. It is an obligation to reply back. Every single person who says salam to Imam Hussein, he says, Wa alaykum as-salam. But it is our ears that cannot hear his voice. But he does say that. The azah of Imam Hussain started just like this. There was a few kids and Bibi Zainab, salamullah alayha, they sat down and they cried. The difference between you and those kids is that they saw what happened in Karbala. They were there. They saw how their loved ones, how Hazrat Abbas's arms were cut. They saw how Hazrat Ali Asghar was martyred. They saw how they were thirsty for 3 days. And every time Bibi Zainab would say Imam Hussein's name, they would start crying. I know that we were not there, but if you can imagine in your minds, in your heart, if you were there, how would you feel? And this has been going on for the last 1400 years, and it is going to continue. Whether you take the alam of Hazrat Abbas and continue this, somebody else will. So take this as your responsibility. In the first 10 days, mourn Imam Hussein like you would mourn your own dad, more than your own dad. You know, in these 10 days, if my father passes away, I cannot cry for my father. I'm not allowed to cry for my father. I have to cry for Imam Hussein. So inshallah ta'ala, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be able to continue this azah this morning of Imam Hussein sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to love Ahlul Bayt alayhi wasallam more than our parents. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to make our hearts soft enough for us to cry on the hardship of Imam Hussain sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the wisdom and the courage to be able to learn from the lessons of Karbala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to live like Imam Ali alayhi wasallam, and for us to die like Imam Hussain alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make Imam al-Zaman alayhi wasallam come as soon as possible. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from his followers and friends. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make you, when you grow up, to see the government of right all over the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to stand shoulder to shoulder with Imam al-Zaman alayhi wasallam and take the revenge of the blood of Imam Hussain alayhi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all the Muslims around the world. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the orphans that are in Palestine, who are in Iraq, those kids who have lost their parents because of the oppression that is going on there. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroy the enemies of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Iran, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give a long life to Imam Khamenei. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep him safe and live to the day that Imam comes and takes the leadership from Imam Khamenei. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you the ability to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to respect the elders. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect you from the insinuations of shaitan. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr. Innal insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat wa tawasaw bil haq wa tawasaw bil sabr. Okay, so if you have any questions in the last, in half an hour, we're going to be answering any questions that you have. Yes?
You know how Imam Hussein sacrificed his whole family for Islam, right? And how Imam Prophet Ibrahim had sacrificed his son. But when Prophet Ibrahim had to sacrifice his Shaitan came and tried to convince his wife to stop that from happening. Why did Shaitan come and stop Imam Hussein from sacrificing his son?
No, the question is that when Hazrat Ibrahim ﷺ was there to sacrifice Ismail ﷺ, the brother said that in the tradition he has read or he has heard that Shaitan tried to stop Hazrat Ibrahim ﷺ from sacrificing Hazrat Ismail ﷺ. Why did not Shaitan try? Shaitan actually, sacrifice of Imam Hussein ﷺ was a slap in his face. He knew that if Imam Hussein will sacrifice all of his family, that event of Karbala till the day of judgment will become a reason for people to wake up. Would become a reason for people to wake up. So he tried his very best as he could to create the circumstances that would be so difficult that Imam Hussein would say that, okay, fine, I will leave and I will go back to Medina. Right? First in Medina he was threatened. He went to Makkah, he was threatened there. After from going from Makkah towards Karbala, in the way, so many of his followers left him. When he got to Karbala, he was made to stop there and 3 days no water, no food. Right? So all of 120,000 people or 80,000 people surrounded Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So he tried his very best that this sacrifice does not happen. That Imam Hussein gives up and goes back. From the very beginning, Iblis has been trying. From the very beginning, because the first, do you know who was the first person who mourned Imam Hussein? It was Hazrat Adam. Hazrat Adam was told the event of Karbala by the angels. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told him what will happen to one of your children. And Hazrat Adam ﷺ cried on the musibat, on the hardship of Imam Hussein ﷺ. Was Iblis present at that time? He was. Right? He knew that this event would happen. And after this event, it would become very difficult for him to stop people from obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because it shakes you up. You know, you'll see people who don't pray namaz, you know, who don't fast, but for the month, for the first 10 days of Muharram, they will show up in the Imam Bargahs. This love of Imam Hussein will drag them into the Imam Bargah. And a lot of people in the first 10 days, they change. Right? So he did try to stop the event of Karbala. But it did happen. Salawat par Muhammad wa Allah. Yes, sir.
Does anybody know how many worlds there are after this life and before this life?
Okay, Arsalan's question is, does anybody know how many worlds there are after this life? There are many different worlds, but the ones that we know, but you know how there is one country and then there's different cities? Okay. So after this world, the other country's name is Barzakh, is purgatory. After that, the other country's name is Day of Judgment. And after that, the other country's name is heaven or hell. And in each country, just like over here in Canada, there's different cities and provinces. Just like that, in those worlds, there are countries and then there are different smaller places. Depending on how you are in Barzakh, if you're a good person, you are not in the neighborhood of bad people. Like your neighborhood in Barzakh, would be the martyrs, or it would be like the scholars, or it would be those people who were saleh, who were good people. If you're bad, the neighborhood that you have is of people like Yazid. May the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be on him. For people who disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for women who do not wear hijab, for men who do not have a beard, for those people who do not pray namaz, you will have that bad neighborhood where you will have to live. And it's the same thing on the Day of Judgment, and it's the same thing in heaven or hell. The highest level, highest, the biggest, the best place in heaven is the place where Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam will be. And you can be there if you strive and you try very, very hard. Okay, well, yes.
How come Islam was still there when the Muslims?
Yeah, the brother's question is, how is it possible for those Muslims, right? They were Muslims, why did they do what they did to Bibi Zainab sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? This? Yeah. See, you become a Muslim just by being born in a Muslim family. Or you say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, or Aliyun Waliullah. That's it, you become a Muslim. Now that doesn't mean that you become a good person. You have to obey the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to obey the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then slowly, slowly, slowly you become a good person. These people who were there in Kufa, who were there in Sham, who were there in Karbala, were just Muslims by name. Their names was Hassan, or their names were Abdullah, or their names were, you know, Usman, or their names were these Islamic names. They're only Muslim by name. Just like you find people around you. You know, like Muhammad becomes Mo, right? A lot of people don't even keep their Muslim names. They change it. Muhammad becomes Mo, Jafar becomes Jeff, right? And they have all of these different English names they want to be called. But these people were just Muslims by name. They did not. They were not good people. And what Bibi Zainab Salamullah did that, she goes, what kind of people are you? You are crying right now? You should cry, and you should cry till eternity. Do you know what you've done? You've martyred the grandson of the Holy Prophet. You have taken the Ahlul Bayt of the Holy Prophet as prisoners. And she spoke like Imam Ali Salam would speak. And the hearts of people in Kufa would shake. Before they had smiles on their face, when Bibi Zainab has started speaking, they started crying and their faces came down and they started to realize how big of a sin they have committed. So there's no guarantee that if you're a Muslim that you're a good person. You have to work to become a good person. Okay, Hassan? You had a question? Jeet. Right. Brother's question is, are there seven levels in heaven? And if there are seven levels, would the Aimal-e-Muslim visit those people who are in those different levels? The highest level that is in heaven is the level where Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim and their Shias are going to be. Which Shias? The ones who help them with their tongue, the ones who love them in their heart, and the ones who help them with their hand. These people will be at the same level as Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They will be the ones who will come around the halls or the pond of Kausar. They will be in the same place. Those people who love them in their heart, they do help them with their tongue. Do you know what it means to help them with your tongue? Is to remember the traditions of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam and to tell to other people. So if you memorize the sayings of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam and you tell others, you are helping Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam with your tongue. Okay? And let's say they did not have the opportunity to help them with their hands, to physically do something. Physically do something is, on the lowest level is, you know, when you come to Imam Bargah, if you are volunteering and you are trying to help out, clean up the mess, or you are doing something, you are helping Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam with your hand. They will be two levels down from that level. The ones who just love Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that's it. They don't help, they don't help them with their tongue, they don't memorize any traditions, they don't tell anybody else. These people will just be in the regular heaven. Now, if they did really, really love Ahlul Bayt al-Husham, yeah, they will have, Imam al-Husham will come and visit them. But everybody will get visited by Ahlul Bayt al-Husham when you die. If a good person dies or a bad person dies, all of the Imam al-Husham, they come at that time. All of the prophets, they come at that time. And they look at you, and either they will say, okay, welcome, or either they'll say, I don't know you. So the people who are bad, they will still see them. People who are good, they will still see them. Okay? From sisters, anybody? Yes?
How many levels are there?
In hell? There are the same levels in hell that there are in heaven. In some traditions, there are 17, some 70,000. There are many different levels in hell. The lowest level of hell is reserved for Yazid and his friends and followers. And those people who hate Ahlul Bayt al-Muslim, it is their lowest level, the enemies of Islam, that is the lowest level that they are going to have in hell. And that level would have the most pain, most suffering, the most punishment. Anybody else? Yes.
What is the simplest way to teach someone about Islam?
The simplest way to teach somebody about Islam is for you to follow the teachings of Islam yourself. Right? For example, you go to school, if you never lied, right? And somebody knows you that you never lied, you are teaching that person about Islam. Why? Because he will know that you're a Muslim, you don't lie. That means what? That in Islam, lying is prohibited, it's haram, right? If you never backbite anybody, if you never say anything bad about anybody behind their back, they would know that in Islam it is forbidden to do backbiting, right? So the best way to teach others about Islam is for you, yourself, to start obeying Islam. Yes? Arsala? Okay, are you guys listening to his question? Arsalan's question was that how many levels were there before we came into this world? The first level was that we were just light. Okay, little dots of light. As I told you about Hazrat Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, how he saw. So we were just little dots of light. And then afterwards, we went through different phases in that world. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even in that world, brought us with our body and our soul, and He asked us, "Alastu bi rabbikum?" He asked us, "Who is your Lord?" And with this same body and the soul that I have right now, I answered Him that you are my Lord. With the same body and this soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us to promise that we are not going to obey shaitan. Alam ahad ilaykum ya bani adama an la ta'budu shaitan. That you're going to worship me, and that is the straight path. So in that world, we gave promises for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as we are today. But what has happened is that we have forgotten those promises. We promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we will not obey shaitan, we will not listen to him. But we are breaking our promise. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that day, the reason why I'm asking you to do all of these promises so that on the day of judgment, you do not come to me and say, well, I never promised you anything. And the prophets, 124,000 prophets came on this earth to remind us of the promises that we made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before coming into this world. Okay? Yes. Our Sunni brothers just say what, sorry? Okay. Right, so the question is that, you know, our Sunni brothers or sisters can ask you the question that what do you guys do in Muharram? And what would be the simplest answer? The simplest answer that you can give to them is that, you know your Prophet or our Prophet, you know our Prophet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had a grandson. Do you know his name? They would say, yes, of course I know his name. His name was Hassan. His name was Hussein. His name was Hassan. So what do we do in Muharram? We cry for the martyrdom of Imam Hussein sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You should tell your Sunni brother or sister, do you know that the grandson of the Prophet's neck was cut off and put on a spear? Do you know that he was put thirsty and hungry for 3 days? Do you know that his family was beaten up and imprisoned? Do you know that his body was trampled over horses? Do you know all of those things? If they say, no, I didn't know that, you ask them, if you knew about that, would you cry or not? And they'll say, of course I would cry. Because I love the Prophet, and if Prophet's family has to go through so much sufferings, I would cry. This would be the simplest answer that you can give to our Muslim brothers and sisters who ask us. They should also cry, because Imam Hussein does not only belong to us. Imam Hussein belongs to all of the Muslims. It is their, our Prophet's grandson we're talking about. Even if you don't call him Imam Hussein, you still do call him the grandson of the Holy Prophet. Then for the grandson of the Holy Prophet who went through so much hardships, at least you can do is wear black. Like you can tell them, do you not cry when your relatives pass away? Like your cousins or third cousins or your aunts or uncles, they pass away. Do you not cry? They'll say, of course we cry. Why do you cry? Because I love them. Okay, well, if you love Imam Hussein, if you love the grandson of the Prophet, should you not cry? And their answer would be, yes, we should cry. If they say, okay, you should cry, then you should come and listen to what happened. You should come to our majalis, you should come to our gatherings, and you should listen what happened to Imam Hussein. And they will come, and when they will find out about the Masaib of Hazrat Ali Asghar, at one time I told the Masaib of Hazrat Ali Asghar alayhi salatu wasalam to Christians. Do you know that these Christians who does not know anything about Hazrat Ali Asghar, they started crying? So that would be the simplest answer. Yes.
You know how we some Sunnis know that there's Muharram going on, but why don't the other Sunnis know that there's Muharram going on? Even though the Sunnis are like one unit, then why don't they separate each other now?
Yeah, the question is that, you know, when Muharram is happening, some of the our Sunni brothers and sisters, they know that Muharram is happening. But then there are so many others that don't even know that Muharram is happening. And he's saying that, you know, if they are as one unit, then they should know these things together. Right? It should not be a group of people knowing and a group of people not knowing. See, the answer to that is, for the last 1400 years, this Aza of Imam Hussain has been, they've been, the Muslims have tried to stop this. Do you know that anyone doing the Aza of Imam Hussain, there were times that if you were doing the Aza of Imam Hussain, if you're mourning, you would be killed. And there are many people in the cities, thousands of people that were killed. Some people even took, they went to the mosques and people went inside of the mosque and killed them. For the last 1400 years, people have been trying to stop this. You know, you can go to Ziyarat right now for Imam Hussein. All you need is a visa, right? You need a visa. Before, there were times when people would ask, give me a limb of your body and then you can go. If you give me your hand, you cut your hand, then you can go. Or you give me your son and then you can go. Why? Why did they try to stop this? Because they know that if the Muslims, they understand Karbala, there will be no one who would remain on the mazhab of Ahl Sunnah. Nobody would remain a Sunni in this world. If they find out about Karbala, only about Karbala, every single Muslim in this world would go on to the mazhab of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. They know this as a fact. And that was the reason why they always stopped. The kings of Bani Umayyah, Umayyads and Bani Abbas, they knew about this. That if people find out about Karbala, they will say, you are not worthy to sit on a throne and be the king of people. You're not the worthy person for leadership of Muslim Ummah. If people got to know about Islam, about Karbala today, they will say to Abdullah, the king of Saudi, you're not worthy to become a king. You do the same things that Yazid is doing. You are doing the same things that Yazid used to do. He used to drink wine in public. You are drinking wine in public. You are gambling in public. You have the beauty contest for camels and you are giving them $10 million. You're not worthy of leadership or becoming the king of Muslims. The leadership should be with a person who's like Hussein. Muslims' leader should be someone like Imam Hussein, who has sacrificed everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who gave his life for the sake of Islam, who has patience, who is courageous, who is pious, who is truthful. See? So if everybody knows about Karbala, or even the kafirs, if they find out about Karbala, they will not stay kafir. They say, if that is Islam, this is what Islam teaches, that for the sake of your Lord, you know, they have one example of Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, Jesus Christ, right? They said that he sacrificed himself for the sake of humanity. And the hardships that he went through, they cried. That he was put on a cross. One person, right? We don't agree with their concept. We do not agree with their concept. It was not Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam who was put on the cross. We know that. Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam was lifted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protected him and he's still alive and he will come when Imam Zaman alayhi salatu wasalam comes back. Right? We know that. But they say that we love Christ because of his sacrifice. If they